Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. This is Jane. And today we are having our, at this time, we have our beginner's meditation with Dr. Jerry. So just hang in there for a second. I think I want to make sure that I've got the correct number for him. All right, let's just go ahead and see if I could bring him through again. Hold on a minute, everybody. Oh, I do have him here. I apologize. I've got to open up his line. Okay. All right, here we go. Hello.
Hello, Jane.
Dr. Jerry.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
We're very good. We have a few people here with us at present, and we want to welcome you and thank you for being here to guide us in our meditation for today. Just to let everyone know, and so it's already taped, this is May the 2nd, 2021. And we welcome Dr. Jerry, who is going to be beginning our beginner's meditation very, very shortly. I just wanted to mention that since this is on Blog Talk, everyone will be able to re-listen to this meditation. So this is very good practice, as well as for those that did miss this call because it was something that was brought forth, you know, kind of, you know, on the spur of the moment, for so to speak. And so that's just fine, too. We are very happy that the ones that are here with all of us. And I'm just going to go ahead and say then, and as a background, again, just very briefly, since all of you already know Dr. Jerry. And we're going to talk a little bit about his voyage or his experience. Of course, we know that he's been meditating for a long time. We know a little bit about his journey, that he started out already when he was a young man and has been meditating for all these years up until now. He's had some really wondrous teachers along the way. And so he is very much... he very much understands that path all on in terms of what we want to reach for, in terms of what to expect in meditation. So with that, Dr. Jerry, I'll just go ahead and let you take it over. Take over. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane, and really appreciate the introduction, and welcome to all who are here. I know I wasn't promoted for this time, but that's good. So the hardcore enthusiasts will find out about it and are here. That's good. So maybe we'll even get into a little more advanced kinds of things. And one of the things that I wanted to discuss briefly, I probably and likely those of you that are here have heard about the journey, the step-by-step process, the various paths, wonderment of it, and the disappointments along the way, but all the learning experience. And it's much akin to what life is like, where you have to develop each step in order to open the flower of the next step. And literally, it is an unfoldment and an opening, a progression. And I believe, ultimately, we are in this world, and the yogis believe this, we are in this world to help discover the essence of our true nature. And the essence of our true nature, for whatever reason, it's hard to explain or understand, shielded from us and hidden from us so we can make this journey. And this journey helps us to deepen that understanding, perhaps deepen that appreciation. And along the way, there are so many diversions. Especially now, you look at the world these days and you look at technology and everything that we have to deal with is a constant distraction. And the mind is a little bit here and a little bit there. In fact, in yoga tradition, they referred to the mind as a monkey, because if you imagine a monkey, monkeys have a couple of qualities. One is a lot of unnecessary movements. If you watch them, they're constantly moving, constantly turning their head and twitching and jumping from limb to limb, or constantly darting about. And also the other thing is the monkey tends to mimic things. If they see something, they will mimic or imitate it. So our mind is like that. We jump from thing to thing. We jump from project to project, thought to thought. It's hard to get much done in the world, let alone understand your true essence. And why that's important is this. Ultimately, we are here for the blink of an eye. Our lifespan, although you may be in the middle of it at this point, if you're toward the end of it, you realize as you look back how quickly it's gone. And you look at all of the years and you think of maybe you're in your 70s or 80s, and you think of when you were younger in your teens or 20s, and you think that wasn't that long ago. And truly it's not. We're not here for that long. So you begin, the more you progress, the older you get in this lifetime, the more you realize this isn't it. This isn't all there is. And so we run around from pillar to post, and we have all these different things we're trying to accomplish. And ultimately, time is working against us, and all of a sudden it's done, and we are done, and we move on. Well, what moves on? Not our body, not even our mind. The essence of our being is what moves on. And that is what yoga is truly about and what meditation is truly about. And it transcends all scripture, all religions, all teachers, everything that we've ever known is transcended at that time as we become our true essence. And our true essence truly is boundless joy, unlimited joy. It's totally without fear. It's without guile. It's without avarice or greed or all of these things that we're so plagued with in this world. And our true nature is beyond all of this. But it's a great wonderment. It's a great thing. And the thing we can do in our lifetime is allow the development so that we can be in that place as much as possible while still in the body. Like the Eightfold Path of Yoga that I kind of was teaching a little bit from, and my teachers explained to me, in order to even be initiated into a higher level practice, you had to compose yourself along these lines of this Eightfold Path of Yoga, which starts with the yamas and the niyamas, the do's and the don'ts. But it progresses from there beyond that and into some higher understandings of the self, and ultimately ends up in a place that's called samadhi. And samadhi is where you actually are. You are the world. You're in the world, but you are the world. You are also realizing that, and my Baba once told me that the realized yogi doesn't necessarily see that God is in themselves, but sees God everywhere. So God is in all beings and in all manifestation. So obviously by extension of that, it is in the yogi as well. And there's that realization that God just is inside and outside this body, but you are connected to all of these things and you are one. So that's the realization ultimately of yoga, meaning union ultimately with the divine spirit, which is what's inside of you. And the more we can align ourselves with that and still be in the body, the more we will be able to accomplish in this lifetime. And the more we can bring things, qualities to this lifetime that are so needed in these times. Because if you look around, the things of distractions leads to fear. Look at the news. Lots of fear. The things of the distracted mind leads to a feeling of lack, which makes you desire lots of things, even though we know in real life, from a realized place, those things don't bring you happiness. So we live in a critical time where, especially now, those of you on this line are positioned to be, let's just call it, affluent. You're positioned to be affluent. So if you do that from a place of being in a state of some degree of union with your spirit rather than the distracted place, so that you can align all of your energies, and those energies at the very base of our body functions, it's called prana. It's that energy that's circulating in our bodies. But it also has, part of its essence is our mind and our thought and our emotions and the various energies in the organ systems and all of these things to create our realm that we are a part of, that this body moving through the world is a part of. If you can help create that union, what happens is you become a dynamo. You accomplish more. You have a greater ability to tap into each cell of your body as a dynamo of energy. And tapping into that allows greater health and greater understanding, greater insight. And these are ultimately the things that we can achieve through the practice of meditation, and ultimately greater joy as we understand our inner selves, because that is the ultimate. And I can't stress that enough, that your true happiness, your true joy, your true essence is waiting there for you inside your very own self, which doesn't mean you can't be a master of this world in a highly affluent state. But if you're also master of the inside, your external experience of this world will be much, much better. So I believe it's really important that we grasp this. And it is a step-by-step process. It's not something that somebody can bestow upon you just instantly. Some of the quote-unquote gurus that practice like a Shaktipat technique, they can grab you right at the third eye or touch you or hit you on the head and give you a brief experience, like Swami Muktananda was like that, and I spent some time with him. And he could hit you on the head, you know, tap you on the head, grab your third eye or whatever, and people would, all of a sudden the energy would move, and they would, things would happen. And sometimes noises would happen, and it was quite interesting. But it's that Shaktipat ignites that Kundalini energy. But it's that instant, and with the hope that it helps to blow by some blocks that might be blocking you from your realization. But ultimately, it's a step-by-step unfoldment of that beautiful flower that is inner realization. So what we're doing, you know, we've been doing this, and we started it last week. What we're doing is a step-by-step process of understanding how we can take that next step. And it really comes with, and this is a practice. So I want to get to where we actually, step by step, I like to sit, and the yogis tend to sit, on something that's woolen to isolate themselves from the earth's energies. They like to have that sacred space that they sit in, where they can easily slip into the consciousness of meditation, because that's what's done in that space. And so if you can do that to any degree that you're able to, please do it. But the important thing about sitting, the important thing about posture, is that you're comfortable. So you're not in a position where you think, oh, wow, my knee hurts. And so the monkey mind starts thinking of all about the knee pain or the back pain or all of these different things, these distractions. Or maybe you're in a noisy place and your mind's constantly going to wonder what's happening there. Or, well, gosh, you know, now I hear my neighbors. And so find a place that is as quiet as possible, as calm as possible, with the least distractions as possible. And you sit as quietly as possible. It could be in a chair if you're more comfortable in a chair. I'm more comfortable sitting because I've practiced it for so long. So I sit in a cross-legged posture on a woolen blanket, and I take a moment to allow my mind, which honestly, I was in a very distracted place just a little bit ago. I had to help my father do some things, and I had to be in a bit of a rush to come home, and there were some other telephone calls I had to take. And so right before Jane called me in, I was all over the place. So I have to sit down for a minute and just feel, because the mind tends to take us away from the present moment. And the important thing about meditation is you come back to this moment, because ultimately this moment, continually throughout our lives, the moment, the present moment we're in, is all we really have. The past is done. The future is not, can't be counted on. But this moment is where God lives. And this moment is what you can, where you can experience God in yourself, which is your true essence. So come back to yourself in this moment, in this place you're sitting, and begin to feel this place. And the trick the yogis use is with breath, and we've covered this a couple of times in a couple of sessions, but there's a lot of reason that they use that trick, because there's a lot of movement of prana and energy that happens with the breath. And so if you focus on the breath, you begin to focus more closely to what you really are rather than the mind. And meditation really is, part of the process is overcoming the mind, overcoming that constant monkey that's trying to distract you. And in order to do that, you take this moment and you breathe. And when you inhale, we've talked about using the I am and the exhale of that. That tends to align very well with the Christian theology. It aligns very well. Jesus, in 7 different times, used the I am. It goes back to Moses' interaction with God. I am that I am, and I am that. So saying that is really a good thing for a lot of people, because they can resonate well with that. In some aspects of yoga, they use the Hong on the inhale and the Sa on the exhale. Some use Hum and So, depending on what tradition you're in. The Yogananda's tradition tended to use Hong Sa, Muktananda's Hum So. And it's all kind of a personal affinity. Whatever you have an affinity for, use that. The most important thing is you're not controlling your breath. You're watching it, and you're feeling it. And another way to begin to feel the breath is to actually tune in to where it's entering the nostrils, with the keyword being feel. If you get into that sensation of touch, then the other senses begin to kind of shut down, because meditation truly is better done with eyes closed, so you're shutting off the sight distractions, and it's difficult to shut off the hearing distractions. So you want to turn the energies into the breath. You want to feel the air flow through the nose. So take just a moment and just think about not controlling the breath, but watching it, and feel it flowing in the nose. And just feel the airflow as it goes through the nasal passages. And feel the airflow as it exits the nasal passages, to kind of get you in touch with that withdrawing the senses into attention to the breath. Keeping in mind that lots of things are happening with the flow of the breath. The prana is related to the flow of the breath. So what you're doing is not just focusing on the breath, you're allowing your attention to go to your prana, to your energies. And we'll get more into that in a moment, because today I want to talk a little bit about the energy centers of the spine. Each has a slightly different characteristic. Each has a slightly different emotion connected with it, a color connected with it, a sound connected with it. And we could do some meditations around that. But before we get there, my Baba always, before a meditation, did the three chants. And he was from India. He spent the last 12 years in India in the Himalaya in a cave with Babaji much of the time, Mahavatar Babaji. He referred to him as Mahamuni Babaji. And so I see these chants as very ancient vibrations. They don't really relate necessarily to any religion because they predate almost all religions. They were incorporated into some Hinduism, but really it's more about the vibration, because the vibrations of the words actually have qualities, and those qualities will resonate with a certain part of you. So if you're sitting comfortably and you're just feeling the air coming in and out, your body is preparing to attune to these vibrations, then I'm going to say these three chants. And the first one is all about the qualities of the divine spirit. The second one is more about the attunement, the inner attunement. And the third one is called a universal prayer, where it's really a giving thanks to all the... So those three vibratory experiences, and then we'll move into a meditation, kind of a little bit of a guided meditation. So first of all, the vibrations of all of the qualities, or true essence, our divine spirit. And as you sit, just gently allow the gaze to raise just a little bit up toward the third eye. And just feel. Satguru Tam Namami. Shanti. Tomaso Majuti Mitu feeling the exhale. If you do follow it with words, just mentally say those words. I am fat. Just feel for thoughts. This is your sacred moment, where it's just you turning into that that is. I am. Now for a little more next step kind of thing. When you inhale, take your attention to the area below the belly button, which in Japan, they call the hara. It's right below the belly button. But as you inhale, feel like the air goes all the way into the hara. It's a very precious part of the body where it's an energy center, bonds to that sacral energy. Not quite as low as the coccygeal. You're right about the sacral energy. It's below the belly button. And feel when you inhale the expansion there, like the movement, the expansion of the of the lower tummy. And if it helps, put your hand over that area, just below the belly button. What's the key here is to feel. So you're feeling the movement of inhale and exhale. And when the energy is strong in the hara, it disperses from there to the part of your body that is your center of the physical being. That's why it's so important and highly regarded in Japan and a lot of the martial arts, because it's the center of your physical being. And so a lot of the communication that goes into the solar plexus area, it's important to have that energy in the hara. So just tune into that. Now let's start at the base of the spine. Put the thought clear to the base of the spine for a moment. It's down to the very lowest point, the coccygeal area. Maybe contract the sphincters in your lower and your pelvic area just a little bit, just to feel. Feel the contraction. Feel the little bit of energy that that contraction is producing. And while you're doing that, if you want to place your hand down a little lower, while you're doing that and you're just feeling, think the word lum, L-U-M. Lum is the sound the very lowest chakra actually creates on the subtle energetic level. So just think that as you feel in the coccygeal area and you breathe, breathe into that area and think lum, maybe as you exhale. Breathe in and feel. And as you exhale, lum. That's the energy that anchors you to this world. And so the yogis prefer to move above that because they prefer to take those worldly energies, which you have, to build upon so the flower can unfold. No, none of the chakras is any less important than the other. But we tend to, as we progress spiritually, operate in higher chakras. So let's think of the next chakra up. Just a little bit up. Maybe move your fingers just a little up. So you're in the lower belly, and that area, the chakra corresponding to this area, corresponds to the sound vum. Just spend a moment and feel, again, all connected to the breath. So as you breathe, you feel the movement in that area. So now you're breathing really slow and really deeply. And you can feel when you inhale, a slight expansion. And as you draw the energy up just a little bit, you're drawing it just a little bit higher in the spine. When you get comfortable there, and you're actually feeling that area, move up to about the area of the belly button. And this is real close to that solar plexus energy that controls a lot of the processes of the body and where a lot of the emotions are centered. And the energy there is rum. We've moved from earth at the base to water, and now we're at fire. Earth, water, fire, rum. Rum is a very powerful place. And it's people that collect the energy there that can move up into the heart chakra and the higher centers. But rum is very important. It's that fire energy that has so much command on all of the body and all of the body's functions. So spend a moment at the area of the belly button and feel the air going in, expanding the belly as you inhale, as you release, letting the air come out, kind of the belly coming back in a little bit. Inhale. Exhale, rum. Mentally connecting with that rum. Think of a fire, a really intense fire, making that, it's so intense, it's making that sound of rum. And it's real important to develop each of these places, because it's a big jump from these worldly centered chakra energies into a true heart space energy. It's a big leap energetically from the energy of the navel to the heart. That's why in this world, true heart energy is hard to find, because people are focused on everything to do with survival, the lower three chakras. But ironically, it's the lower three chakras developing from a spiritual essence point of view to make that big jump into the heart. So just for a moment, move your hand up to your heart and feel, maybe rub the heart area a little bit so you actually feel the skin there in that area. Feel the warmth of your hand. Feel the air coming in and going out. And think yum. Yum. What a great word for heart. Like you're hugging someone and you just feel this yum. It's the heart. Yum. Very expansive. When you really get into the heart energy, you can expand to the entire world from there. And that's where you get into that selfless. When you're truly in the heart from an inner yogic perspective, from an inner essence perspective, always selfless. And it feels wonderful. So spend a moment in the heart. And truly connect with that place, and know how rare that is and how special it is that you're here spending time with your heart love energy, and know that God is loving you right there. Feel that love as you inhale and you exhale. Now as we move up, the throat energy is the divine creative, which correlates perhaps to the lower creative, but it's divine creative. So now you're operating in a spiritual realm. So maybe just touch the throat area, feel the fingers in the throat, feel the air as it moves through the throat. Just keyword feel, and what you exhale with is hum, hum, hum. It's very close to om. The Tibetan yogi Milarepa used Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. It was Milarepa's mantra. It's a great mantra. It's the divine creative. Hum. It has notes of music. Hum. And it's the launching place to that connection with the third eye. And the third eye does carry with it the sound of Om. the sound of Om embodies all of the others. Lum vum rum yum hum om. So spend a minute with the air going back to feeling it go in the nostrils and out of the nostrils. So your focus is on that, where the air is passing through the nasal passages. And raise it up just a little bit. Raise just up a little from the nasal passages into the third eye. Maybe touch that area. Rub it. Ride it in between the eyebrows above just a little bit. Feel the area expand and tink. When I was in SRF, they used to end some of the meditations with the Om chant. And it's such a great chant. I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes with that, and then we'll wrap up. Just the next minute, feeling the expansion of that space in the third eye. And know that that's the place where you actually see God, and know that God is in you, as you, as your higher self. And you are spending this moment with your higher self, completely absorbed in that place that, where there's no judgment, there's no fear, jealousy, only love. And I'm going to end the meditation with the chant my Baba always ended the meditations with, and it's about namaste, so it's about bowing. But Muktananda always used to say, bow to yourself, who is the self of all. So basically what you're doing when you bow is you're bowing to that, that is your higher self and the higher selves of all. Namaste astu sahasrakrita punacca vyapi namo namaste namo Priestataste Namastute Sarvatai Vatsarvam. And my final thought is, if you don't have it next to you right now, it's okay. But if you do, just sit for a few more moments. But after that, write in a journal. If your journal is near where you're sitting, and I recommend that, because from that place of peace and stillness, you'll be able to tap into that deep part of yourself that is obscured by the world in our daily activities. And these moments where you've captured a little bit of that essence, write down a few thoughts. Don't judge anything, just write it down and let it flow. I truly love you all, and I truly am grateful for you spending a few minutes in this place with me, in your sacred place, sharing with my sacred space. God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you, Jane.